And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
We are exploited. We are downtrodden. We are denied not only civil rights, but even human rights. So the only way we're going to get some of this oppression and exploitation away from us or aside from us is come together against a common enemy.
I don't want you to protest, I don't want you to ride, I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being, God damn it! My life has value!
We get together, have a few laughs.
Welcome to the Iowa Talk Guys podcast. My name is Theo.
And I'm E-Rock.
And I'm TP.
And today we are bringing you a collaboration, an interview, whatever you want to call it, with Smokey from the state of Appalachia. Yeah. Actually, Smokey, you might as well just introduce yourself and then tell people how they can find you right away.
Let them know I'm from Virginia.
Alrighty, I am Smokey the Appalachia Spanny. I run the State of Appalachia Instagram and Twitter and other social media junk. The idea started off originally as an independence movement for Appalachia. It's still there today, but it's more preaching self-reliance and intentional community, self-sustaining lifestyle. You can find me on Instagram. I believe it's Smokey the Appalachia Stanny or just State of Appalachia. And I believe my Twitter handle is at Appalachia Stanny.
Rock on. All right. And we were the talk guys here. We were talking. We saw when all that stuff was popping off down at Eagle Pass, when Abbott was calling the National Guardsmen out, we saw on your Instagram and your Twitter that you were dropping a lot of these maps showing like which states were getting National Guardsmen ready to be sent down and help out with Texas and stuff, and who weren't doing it, or other states, like wasn't it Arizona, I believe, they activated their National Guard for their border, but they weren't going to send any to Texas, if I remember correctly. So that's what got our attention. We started looking through some of your other stuff, and we're like, oh, hey, this might be a dude that we'd get along with. Might want to call him and see what he knows about the situation.
Yeah.
Because that's something that we bring up on our show, especially like our Road to War updates. It's, you know, that's a domestic issue that we've been concerned about for quite some time, about this illegal invasion that's been happening on our southern border.
Aiding and abetting by the federal government, as a matter of fact.
That's the craziest part about it.
And, yeah, the people, I mean, it would seem like we are seeing people that could very well mean to do the United States harm. And I mean, there were videos. People looked like they were flaunting it and whatnot. You know, we've heard a lot about people are kind of freaking out about Haiti right now. You know, most people.
Well, they caught a Hezbollah wanted terrorist at the border this morning.
Yep.
So, really? And he was planning to go to New York City and make a bomb, when that was apparently what he admitted to under investigation.
Yeah, I didn't hear the bomb part, but I saw that this morning that they had caught that guy. I was like, weird. That's just one that they caught. We brought up some articles from back in 2020 during the Trump administration where Border Patrol caught like 100-something known terrorists trying to cross the border.
Yeah, I mean, we had all their data up on that.
Yeah, those were just the ones they caught. Imagine how many have already gotten through that they didn't catch.
Exactly.
And go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead. I was just going to say, and let's be self-aware here, too. I mean, we talk about it all the time, but there are certain people from other parts of the world that are probably not very happy with what Washington, D.C., and I'm careful to call them Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
What they
call them Mortar on the Potomac.
Yeah. Yeah. they pulled a lot of shit in a lot of places. And there's a reason that over the decades, folks from Lebanon don't have a too favorable of opinion of the United States, to put it lightly.
Oh, and folks from all over North Africa. I mean, remember when Obama sent troops down there to help out with the Ebola crisis?
I don't actually remember that, no, but
yeah.
Don't doubt it at all.
They're like, here, take this.
I vaguely remember that. I also remember, you know, all of our dealings in Libya to help the Arab Spring.
In Egypt.
We talk about Libya all the time, but it's just such a great example because before 2011 in the Arab Spring, they had the highest standard of living on the continent. All right. And that's saying a lot because that continent could really use it.
Right.
And not only that, but then just he fell into the trap. Hey, I'm going to make a currency, start selling our gold or our oil and this gold-backed currency. And that's the quickest way to get your ass killed.
Yeah. Klaus Schwab's like, hold my beer.
This is a clip from the Tosh.0 show from November 2nd, 2011.
My favorite video on the internet right now is of Gaddafi getting captured by the Libyan rebels. But what really makes it special is the part where one of them takes out a utility knife and repeatedly jams it up Gaddafi's ass. If they can do that to a world leader, I might as well do it to the people who work on my show in a new segment called Gaddafi.
Yeah, and then we all ran around in college shouting Gaddafi at one another and violating each other drunkenly at parties.
Yeah, trying to stab each other in the ass, right?
Yeah.
Gaddafi!
Big thanks to Gaddafi for dying so we could do that bit. Send in your own Gaddafi in videos and maybe we'll put them on the air.
Yeah, the same shit was happening in the Marine Corps at that time too, so...
Oh, that's terrible.
But there were actually no insertions, as far as I know.
So... an article that I actually found today, it's a couple weeks old, but it's brought to us by Elliot Spaget of the AP on March 6th, 2024. Fact focus claims Biden administration is secretly flying migrants into the country are unfounded. In this Super Tuesday victory speech, former President Donald Trump elevated false information that had gone viral on social media claiming the Biden administration secretly flew hundreds of thousands of migrants into the United States. Well, I mean, they're certainly making their way in everywhere, right?
Yeah.
I don't see what the point. The interstate system, I guess, is pretty efficient. So. I mean,
we know for sure they're getting bust in.
Yeah. I mean, so.
I think, did you share that photo of. Where was it? All the cell phones that were given to migrants and all the highways that they've traveled. Was that you that shared that photo, Smokey?
I don't believe that was me. I don't think I've seen that one, actually.
Yeah, you should check it out. It just shows where it tracks every single Obama phone that these immigrants got coming across. And then they're, shocker, they all are like holed up in major cities.
I-80 to Chicago. You know, all up along, 35 to 80, 10 over to Florida.
All over Texas.
They're
poisoning the blood of our land, like Trump said.
I don't know if they're going to be poisoning the blood of the land, but they may be a cancer to the societies. I don't know.
Apparently, he doubled down on that blood of the poisoning just the other day.
You think? I mean, he wasn't wrong. That's another thing that people are so stupid and ignorant about. And like, we're not big... I don't know. Hold on, real quick, Smokey. How do you feel on Trump?
So, I didn't vote for the man, but at the same time, I love watching people melt down him refusing to admit that he spelled coffee wrong on Twitter.
Right, yeah.
Like, yes. I also will admit, and I ask people this all the time, you know, were you better off, you know, I guess 6 or 8 years ago now than you are today?
Right.
I know I was.
Yeah,
right.
Those are good points. But, anyway, everybody was calling him. Remember when they were calling him a racist against Mexicans? Because they're like, he doesn't want him in this country. And he's like, I don't want
MS. I want Hispanics.
Yeah, I don't want MS-13 and cartel members in my country, which I don't either.
Right.
They're not sending their best.
That is what he said.
Right. Well, guess what? I think the world's doing. So back, the same as when it happened in Cuba in the 80s, dude, or happened in Florida from Cuba in the 80s when Fidel Castro said he flushed Cuba's toilets on America's shores,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he sent Al Pacino to the U.S., to Miami.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm Tony Montana, a political prisoner from Cuba.
Is it El Salvador or is it Costa Rica that had one of the highest murder rates as a country in Latin America?
Costa Rica is a really safe, peaceful place down there. Yeah,
it's El Salvador, I'm thinking of it.
But they got rid of
their gang problem.
Yeah. That president, that new president. Sorry to interrupt you there, but we were saying the same thing anyway, right? They got that new president there, and he cleaned it up. I bet it wasn't pretty, but it wasn't pretty before.
I mean, you polish something you know, that doesn't mean it's going to be miraculous and beautiful looking, but it's going to certainly look better than it used to.
Like yeah, Haiti. It's going to take time.
And
like Haiti when he was calling it a shithole.
to use a bad euphemism to make an omelet, you got to break some eggs.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you're dealing with
murderers and rapists and human traffickers, yeah, then yeah, those are totally cool with breaking those eggs, I think.
I think he built a massive new prison, too, or something like that.
Well, they went into the prisons and just like ended up executing a bunch of people. Like, if we find weapons in your shit, you're dead.
Well,
I'm pretty sure that was El Salvador. I'm
throwing out my shanks so fast.
Yeah.
Well, the crazy thing was that they had like Glocks and like other, like, how did you smuggle this into prison here?
Keister stashed it, man.
They had rifles, shotguns they were finding.
What?
I'm not even kidding, dude. Look it up. It's in the wild.
Man.
It's wild. Yeah. I mean, you think our prisons are bad, dude? That's what our schools look like now, apparently, according to TikTok.
I this would be a good time to insert some data here that I brought up from the lovely, lovely U.S. Customs and Border Protection outfit.
Oh, goody.
They got there. We love them. Everybody is familiar, I'm sure, with the December, the glorious December 2023 numbers. That was about 252,000 illegal immigrants apprehended, encountered, and it turns out 59,500 of them were from Northern Triangle countries. Now, that includes El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras are in there as well. So, very poor countries, very isolated. I remember flying over because I actually got married in Costa Rica, and there were a lot of tin roofs shining up.
So, that's great that you brought that up, because since we were talking about El Salvador, so the people that ran and didn't get murdered by the government, the murderers and rapists and pedophiles and child or human traffickers, where do you think they fucking went?
El Salvador?
From El Salvador.
From El Salvador. Well, yeah, to the U.S. Well, it's important to
remember.
That's
what the data looks like, right? Or am I just being...
Enough okay. People. It's important to remember that MS-13 originated, and now it has completely saturated Central America, Mexico, you name it, the United States.
Yeah.
It originated in El Salvador.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Mara Salvatruchas. The worker ants is the name. Yeah.
They're a brutal gang. Do you know anything about them, Smokey?
So I do from my time in law enforcement.
Cool.
Basically, anytime I'd see tats like that, it was people I was just kind of reluctant to engage with. Most of our the gangs that we dealt with in the county I worked in, it was very infrequently that we'd come across MS-13, but we were always told that if we did, to kind of make note of it and pass the information along to our gang task force unit.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's smarter.
Kept tabs on them.
So you guys don't tango with them?
Yeah, so that men...
I mean, I didn't want to be macheted to death just for being like, hello, fellas, how are you?
No shit. Yeah, go ahead and send men with rifles to go take care of that.
And so that, so then you, dude, so that's even more insane. I didn't know that you were a police officer, so in our own border... That's the standard operating procedure then to dealing with.
So I was.
Were you a deputy?
I worked for a police. No, I worked for a police department, but I worked in the animal control unit, an animal control. So I dealt with animal related crime, but even like our regular patrol guys, they do what they could to avoid them and just pass on the information to the gang task force units.
Man, 50 years ago, those guys would have gotten beaten with fucking batons and put on a bus and sent out. I mean, you know what I mean?
If they committed crimes, violent ones, it wouldn't have been pretty.
Well, even if they had tats like that, like the cops from the 70s and 80s, they would have just gang stalked them until they fucking left town. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, shit's crazy, dude.
Take them out to the landfill and, show them a good night with a nightstick.
Well, that's what's happening in Missouri. We did a show.
No. Jackson. I just drove through. Too.
Oh yeah, Jackson, Mississippi. Yeah.
They found 215 bodies. Was it
buried in shallow graves?
Yeah. Did you hear about that, Smokey?
No, this is news to me.
It's unreal. Yeah. It's unreal.
We have a show. I'll share it with you.
Yeah, but real quick, look into this for yourself because it's absolutely amazing and horrendous at the same time.
Crazy.
It's 215-ish or something like that bodies found, I think.
But it's a lot.
It's in Jackson, Mississippi?
Jackson, outside of Jackson, and it's outside of a penal facility.
Oh, my Lord.
But wait.
I just brought up the NPR. Myself for saying NPR.
Yeah. But wait, no. It's not inmates, man.
Yeah.
The biggest one making the news right now was a guy that an off-duty police officer hit at night, allegedly, and didn't report it, but he was dead. They buried him in a shallow grave.
No, they reported it, just not to the family.
Right.
They called her, but she didn't answer.
Yeah, they made a note of it. And she didn't answer. And it just so happens that this family already has a lawsuit against the police for a wrongful death. So they're like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Dude, that's crazy.
So these are people that weren't inmates, but officers had interactions with them and then used the jail as kind of like their...
Committing crimes. Some of them weren't even doing anything wrong.
And here's the thing, Smokey. I know you're paying attention to a ton of other things, but I don't know how I found out about it. You haven't heard about it. And you're reading the news.
Well, we're closer to Jackson than he is.
I don't know, but how hush-hush is this?
Right. That's true.
Everybody in the country should have heard about that.
You would think.
Yeah. Especially like my anti-law enforcement rants I've been on since I left the force.
Okay.
That's something that would easily have popped up on my radar with not looking too hard. That's surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nuts. Don't take our word for it. Go check it out.
Yeah,
I got the article open right now.
There you go.
It's just bizarre.
Yeah, it's
so
wild.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
The sad thing is, though, is I believe it 100% with just reading the title. From old cops I know and, you know, having lived up in New Jersey in the past, it's completely plausible.
Well, that's a brotherhood, a fraternity.
Yeah.
Like an eternal fraternity type deal.
The blue wall of silence. We'll take care of you. You take care of us.
Right. Which is, you know, back before Rage Against the Machine turned into Bow to the Machine.
Yeah.
You know, that was one of their lyrics. Like, what, you think you're wearing a badge, so you're chosen, right? You know what I mean? And it's like, no. Mm-hmm. That's the sick part about it is you bastards are supposed to uphold the law.
Right. Be an example.
And be an example instead.
I never broke the law. I am the law.
You know.
Yeah. One of my favorite days of realizing I absolutely need to get out of the profession was being told I couldn't wear my aviator sunglasses because they were intimidating to the public.
What?
Meanwhile, I'm the friendly animal cop who's like, hey, you know, your dog was lost. Here you go. But I'm too intimidated with my aviators. So,
okay. That's wild. Those are reserved for state troopers only, son.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean... There's the other thing, though. I do personally know a lot of good cops, good police officers, good LEOs and stuff. And, you know, unfortunately, the bad ones ruin it for everybody else.
That's how it is in all things in life.
Yeah. You know, everybody's got them. Unfortunately, like I said, yeah, some of this stuff going on is, like, extremely heinous. It's not like a job, like, oops, this dude ruined this part at work and doesn't want to fess up to it, right? You know. Instead, it's like, oops, we killed somebody, and we got to cover this up. We killed
215 somebody.
Yeah, yes. And we got to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was like, but the one reporter said there was like buzzards flying around all over the place because they're in shallow graves and stuff. And it was horrific, dude. We read a bunch of articles on it and put together a show.
Definitely send it to me. I'm going to listen to it tomorrow when I'm at work.
Cool, nice. So... I feel bad we kind of skipped this in the beginning, but before we started recording, we had talked kind of about your the origin story.
Yes.
what set you on the path of trying to educate others and add value to other people's lives during these interesting times we're living in?
So I think it comes back down to 2020, or we had just had an election in Virginia where the Democrats took power. And Ralph Northam, our governor at the time, Lord Blackface, decided that they were going to pass a raft of gun control laws here.
Yeah.
And 50,000 of us said, fuck you, no, and showed up armed to the teeth at the Capitol, around listening to music.
I remember that.
He declared a state of emergency and evacuated the government staff from the Capitol, brought in extra state troopers, and the most violent thing that happened that day was somebody spilled a coffee on the ground.
Oh, geez.
That wasn't the that wasn't the tiki torch thing, was it?
No, that's that was Charlottesville with the Unite the Right People. Ours was the Virginia Citizens Defense League's lobby day rally.
Okay.
And you're not a Fed?
No, I am not a Fed. I am an informant. I inform the Feds that they're gay all the time. But that was kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back for me, so to speak. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do something, anything, to try and fight back against the agenda coming out of Washington, D.C. is basically what it was.
Okay.
And that's how we started. Several of us got together and realized the voting patterns in Virginia. Southwest Virginia, where I currently live, and Western Virginia is very red, as opposed to the very blue microcosm of Northern Virginia.
Alexandria, Richmond.
Yeah, Fairfax County. And at the time, I was living just outside of Richmond, in a very red county, but we realized nothing that we said or wanted mattered as long as political power was concentrated in the northern end of the state. Okay. So originally it came down to the idea of, well, why don't we try and form a new state? You know, I didn't want to be the 51st state or the 52nd state. I didn't mind being the 54th or 55th state, because the story is kind of the same for everyone anywhere, is that political power is vested in a few small urbanized areas, and the rural county country folk are kicked to the wayside. You know, our voices aren't heard.
Yeah. Yep. Because you guys is unsophisticated.
We're flying over country.
The Richmond and Richmond.
The Richmond.
North of Richmond.
The Richmond, north of Richmond. Lord knows it all. Just want to have total control.
Yeah. Richmond, north of Richmond. Mr. Oliver Ant. Little by little, the group that I had joined, which was called the State of Appalachia Initiative, whittled away members that were involved at the top. And I started taking on more and more responsibilities. And then eventually I found that I was the person in charge of all of our outreach stuff.
Okay.
And nice. Then I found out that I was pretty much the only person that was willing to do any work towards it.
Oh, really? Everybody else, they were just
virtue signaling?
Yeah, you get that initial anger of like, we need to do something, but not me, because that's a lot of work to do right now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so, running that stuff takes commitment, dude. I mean, but if you want to make a change, you're going to have to commit, you know, right? I mean, with anything in your life, you want to change something that you got going on, learn a new skill, it takes time, you got to commit.
Exactly. And, you know, I tell this to all my new employees, too, is that the first time you start something, you're not good at it.
Right.
You know,
Jimi Hendrix wasn't a rock star when he picked up his first guitar, man.
Exactly. Even a guy that runs like a skid steer sucked probably the first time he got behind the control of the skid steer, but you give him 30 minutes, he'll figure it out and become pretty decent at it.
Right.
So the idea has kind of morphed a little. I'm still pushing for Appalachian independence, but more so through the individual.
Okay.
And that comes to people breaking off their need from the state, becoming self-reliant, building better intentional communities. And a lot of that is just telling people, go outside and talk to your fucking neighbors. Stop being weird. Pardon my language.
No, you're fine.
No, yeah. It's an explicit show. We've been cussing. Yeah, that's obviously got to take a lot of work and stuff. But you seem to have a lot of followers and a lot of people. I've been on your guys' Discord app. You got a lot of stuff on there. Homesteading stuff.
I apologize for the utter group of autists that I have in there.
What do you mean?
Was there an issue earlier?
We're very insular in there. We like to hate on outsiders immediately. but we also hate each other equally, so it works really well in there.
Okay, good.
We have been behind the scenes floating the idea of internet amateur rules mixed martial arts matches, though. So it would be...
I'm down for it.
Theo wants to start like a fight club of podcasters and
it
fans.
It would be really cool to see TP... The hog Iowa hog farm kid,
no,
go up against some Appalachistani.
Fucking!
I tell people this all the time. If you talk shit, be prepared to get hit in the face. And you know, at the end of the day, if you kick my ass, then perfect. I could use a good ass kicking.
Oh no,
it's a humbling experience.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with getting your ass kicked. I've had it happen a few times, but you know, as long as you still can kick some ass.
It's like Mike Tyson said,
mm-hmm.
Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
Yeah, And they keep, they keep me on this Prozac because it keeps me from killing you, motherfucker. That's my favorite Tyson quote. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know how Discord works, so I just got on there and checked your guys' stuff out, and you do have a lot of great material on there besides the shit talking assholes. There's, like I said, that you guys have PDFs on homesteading stuff, on farming, on hunting. It looks like you guys have some stuff in there. I haven't gone through the whole thing, but it looks like a great resource for people to be able to go and get some good information from.
You can steal some pretty good memes off of there, too. That's what I do for most of my stuff. It's gone through a couple iterations. We've had a lot more stuff, but we've been trying to consolidate and get more of a focused, useful message instead of just shit-talking all the time.
Yeah.
But every now and then, they like to blow off some steam.
You guys like to talk about how to grow good tobacco?
We've chatted about it before. I am in the process of trying to grow decent tobacco.
Really? Nice. That's awesome. You using any of the Gore family seeds?
No.
What's that?
Al Gore, his family?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That's how they made their money.
Was tobacco farmers.
Tobacco farmers, yep.
So, if you are interested in growing tobacco, strictlymedicinalseeds.com sells all the variations of tobacco seed that you can grow. Hey, what's the one that we grow, Dom? Is it? Well, my wife said we grow Virginia tobacco, which makes sense.
There you go.
Heck yeah.
But they're a pretty good resource. You can also get other stuff from them, like ginseng and pawpaw trees, persimmons.
So do you guys take that to like farmers markets and sell it? Or like, what do you make chew out of it? Do you dry it out for pipe tobacco or rolling or?
So I want to grow, raise it for pipe tobacco. The past 2 years, my growing experiments have failed utterly. And then the first year that I had it, it was growing really well and then died off at some point and ended up talking to my wife's granddad who has grown tobacco all his life. And he gave us a couple of pointers to try out. So once we get our soil variations and whatnot down, I'll give it another shot and hopefully it goes well. But where we are in the mountains isn't really tobacco, Virginia. It's more.
All right.
It's not like the plantation crop from like the coastline areas. The
coastal area. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Well, either way, dude, I mean, that's a good skill to learn.
Yeah.
I mean, really anywhere if you can do that, because I know not all places have the climate, but that's, if you ever think about the grid down situation, dude, that is a currency.
Yeah, right it is.
Prison rules, you bitch. You guys got some ammo over there? Not that I need any, but I got some tobacco.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Exactly.
I'll tell you what, man. I will get some of that tobacco, especially if you know, since the last big old bag of loose leaf I bought didn't have a picture of an Indian on it.
Oh, the red man? I mean, American man or whatever they call it now?
You put a big old badass engine on there with a headdress. And
Elizabeth Warren,
I'm game.
Yeah,
you can put Elizabeth Warren. Let's take
the old Chiefs logo and slip it on there,
dude. Oh yeah, typical white man when they took the Native American girl off the land of lakes butter, taking the Native American. Yeah,
even the line in Kugel's beer.
All right, yeah taking the land and removing the Native American. Yeah,
that's gonna solve racism.
I'm offended.
We call it progress.
You know, I also heard that, like, the Aunt Jemima, the actual lady, that her being on syrup took her family out of poverty.
Yeah.
And she was a millionaire.
Yeah, for not generations. Just
her family, like her whole community.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. She cooked for presidents, but it's racist to have her face on her mother.
Yeah, that's what I find is, like, it's kind of racist that you're taking her off of it.
No,
like,
shit.
That's so stupid. You're erasing history.
Hey!
Didn't they get rid of Uncle Ben, too?
It's insane, dude.
It's disrespectful, actually, I think is what it is. But
yeah, I think it is, too. But, yeah, no, having tobacco, I never thought about that. We should see if we can
grow
some here in Iowa.
We can grow it.
You said, what was that website again?
It's strictlymedicinalseeds.com.
All right, cool.
Sounds like it'd be something else, but...
strictlymedicinalseeds.com.
You might be able to buy some there in states where it's legal. Like in Virginia, it's legal. You can grow 4 plants for personal use.
Oh, really?
In Virginia?
Legally. And I think this year or next year, all of our dispensaries are supposed to open.
Oh, wow.
I see in certain areas, the Amish are getting on that bandwagon and figure they can make some money off of it.
That's smart.
I've seen that at a farmer's market. They were selling a couple of different blends.
Nice.
Amish were?
Wow, that'd be wild to see. Yeah, that'd be wild.
Dude, no,
Iowa, the only cool plants Iowa lets us grow are, we can grow two poppy plants. That's it.
Ooh.
Really?
Yeah.
You got the early start of the heroin trade there for America.
Well,
two plants at a time.
Iowa's drug of choice, unfortunately, is meth. We used to be the meth capital of the world back in
Appalachians as well. No, so yeah, solidarity there.
White trash everywhere loves meth.
Yeah, that's true. I don't get it. I never done it, but I don't get it.
No.
I've never had the urge to. Like, it's made with what?
You guys remember
battery acid and cold medicine,
among other things?
Yeah, I'll pass.
And the anhydrous ammonia tanks that the gas company drags around.
You mean to tell me it's not made in a lab like in Breaking Bad?
It can be.
It's probably the nice, real good industrial shit, right?
But I mean, like, so Smokey, I live like the shack out here that we're in. You can probably hear it. It's a little noisy. Then we got some thin gauge steel, and that's about it between us and the elements. I'm just out in the fields, man. And this anhydrous ammonia, when they stick that in the ground, you know it. You know what I mean? And people steal that shit and make meth out of it. It's just wild. But that is so. I was going to say TP stepped out, but E-Rock, do you remember the Iowa Nice video that came out in like 2007?
With Kim Reynolds?
No. I don't know. He made a video about Iowa Nice. Smokey, did you ever happen to see this Iowa Nice video?
So I hear you think you know something about Iowa. Fuck you.
I don't think so.
I don't know. Check it out. It's like old at this point. But I think it was
cultural
like...
Cultural label used to describe stereotypical attitudes and behaviors of residents in Iowa.
I think...
There's a whole Wikipedia page.
Well, it was a reaction to this professor... who wrote an op-ed. I can't remember if it was like the Des Moines Register or something like that. Yeah. Iowa Nice. So 2012 it came out, regardless. But he was from like New Jersey, right? Okay. And he wrote this op-ed about how shitty Iowa is. He's like, it's a, you know, a trap for depression. You know, you drive up all these river towns. Like, so our east border is the Mississippi River. And our west border is the Missouri River. So there's freaking river towns. And then every river, you know, in the state drains to one or the other, right? River towns everywhere. And he's just talking about how depressing it was and whatnot. And the reaction was, he was a professor at the University of Iowa. The reaction was a ton of people wanted him fired. But he wasn't, like, completely wrong. But you know what I mean? Because that meth trashes. TP, do you remember that Iowa Nice video? Back in the day? No? Anyway.
So I can tell you this as someone that lived in New Jersey as well, that anybody that comes from New Jersey and tells you, oh, this state is terrible, they're a fucking asshole. Don't listen to them.
He's right, you know.
I got sent out there for work one time. This was like 2019. I got sent out there. And I got sent to... I remember you said that you lived there for a bit. So I got sent to the finest part of New Jersey. Newark there.
A cultural enrichment center.
I've never been to the East Coast, right? So,
oh boy.
So we're at this shop. It's all heavy equipment and whatnot, right? And like, I'm the zoo exhibit, right?
Look at that.
Yeah.
Midwestern.
He's never been to the East Coast before.
Look at this redneck over here.
Every other name is either like Polish and you can't pronounce it or Italian and you can't pronounce it. And so it was funny. This one guy, he goes, he's like, yeah, it's his first time to the East Coast. And this guy, he goes, it's his first time to the East Coast and he came to Jersey. No, but Newark, you know, no offense to our listeners in Newark, New Jersey, but you can do better than that. Okay. You can do better for yourself.
The Iowa Talk guys believe in you.
I'll be honest. I'd be surprised if there's people in Newark that are listening to this podcast still. It's got a lot of the Polish and Italians and Irish left that city long ago.
Yeah,
we don't have any listens yet, at least on Spotify.
Yeah, it was an absolutely disgusting shithole. So people don't really know that in New Jersey you can't pump your own gas.
Pump your own gas.
And, and in the particular part of New Jersey that I was in, it was like every gas station, it was somebody from like Bangladesh or India or Pakistan or something, which is fine. Mm-hmm. And I had a broken conversation with this guy, and he was just so excited that somebody treated him like a human, tried to communicate with him, have a conversation with him. He'd wow. never been treated like that before.
Really?
No.
That's so crazy.
This story is painfully true for anybody from New Jersey listening to it. Just from the moment of, the first place it comes to is Jersey, to that whole conversation with the gas station guy. Because there, it's you stick your card out the window, you're like 20 regular, I don't care.
Yeah, fuck you.
Just don't want to deal with people.
Yeah, right. Seriously. Totally crazy.
It's terrible.
Something we were chatting about earlier that I want to circle back on, because I just remember we were talking about the border map I was throwing up, and you were saying about Arizona.
Yeah.
Having deployed its own National Guard to its border. I remember California did as well.
Oh, yeah.
But I want to make this very clear that while it says that their guard has been deployed to their border, I don't know what capacity they're, what force deployment they have there, what numbers they have, what their actual operation is down there. But I know for a fact California's is like 43 guys, so they can't really be doing too much.
Yeah, I'm sure that Gruesome Newsom isn't getting too carried away with his troop presence down there.
They just announced that California, the immigrants can come in and get home loans, first time home buyer home loans from any bank, pretty much. And I'm like, I thought this was a Babylon Bee article when I read it. I was like, this has to be fucking satire. And no, it's true. I can't remember the statistics off the top of my head. I gotta look into it more. But I'm like, this is exactly what happened in 2008 when the banks were giving out loans to people that had no fucking business getting loans.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
Here you go. You can't afford this, but here you go.
Yep. No big deal. The taxpayers will fucking pay for it.
Yeah. What's their credit score starting off?
Probably 900. You're brand new to this country.
You gotta throw that.
That's equity.
Yeah, here's a $10,000 debit card and 900 credit score. Here's a bank teller's number that you can call to get a house. Crazy.
Yeah. Part of me wants it to stop, but at this point I look at it as, we're so far down the rabbit hole. Let's just speed it up, instead of 10,000, why not 100,000? Let's just crash the fucking currency already.
Well, yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. I mean, we've talked about that on our show too. Like, we're not financial advisors by any means, but I would suggest to everybody to own at least some silver and gold.
Absolutely. Actually, there's one guy from that's in my Discord. He's gone to the length of, he actually has 1 ounce silver rounds printed with the State of Appalachia logo on them.
Heck yeah, that's awesome, dude. That's awesome.
That's not feasible for everybody, considering the lengths he went through to go through to get that. But,
well, yeah, no. And I mean, and there are mints that you can pay to have it done. You know what I mean? Yeah. But yeah, you're paying more than what the silver coin is worth.
Yeah, it's like a novelty almost at this point. But
like those Donald Trump.
Get
the late night infomercials.
Physical gold and silver in your possession is always a good thing, I tell people.
Always has been, yeah. But you had mentioned, creating your actual own state and and segregating from the United States government itself. So have you looked into that route on like what path that you would take?
So yeah, it would be kind of twofold. It'd be dealing with the federal government and then depending on the area of Appalachia, because we have representation in 13 states. There's Appalachian areas that go all the way from Alabama, in my opinion, technically through Maine.
Yeah.
Not in Ohio, though. That's a very contentious point with me with the Ohioans.
Yeah, that little that little corner down there.
Yeah, I don't consider it. Just being poor doesn't make you Appalachian. There's other factors involved. But I've looked into, I've done a lot of, research, and a model that I think would be something to look at specifically is like the Texas Nationalist Movement.
Yeah.
The Texit folks. Mm-hmm. They started in 2012 with, like 100 members, and today they're tens of thousands of members. They got 130,000 signatures to be put onto the ballot for considering secession.
I thought they had 250,000 at least, like, people that were participating in one way, shape, or form at one point in time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
they likely do.
It's a big state anyway, right?
It is. I mean, I my whole stance is that if you feel that you should be independent, try it. You know, I've been a big fan of the State of Jefferson movement between California and Oregon.
Right.
I'm a big fan of Greater Idaho.
The Eastern Oregon movement there, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's part of Washington as well, I believe, right?
In Washington, there's the Liberty State movement, where the eastern half of the state wants to secede from the western half of the state.
Can't blame either of them.
Yeah, I don't blame them. Heck, even in New York State, you get most of the state there wants to secede from Albany and from New York City.
Yeah, I can only imagine why.
The problem when it all comes down to, though, is that, you know, especially like on social media, is, you know, you make a comment on like Twitter, for example, or X, whatever it's called now, about secession, and you get, you know, 100 people in favor, and then you get 2,000 bots that swarm in there with like 150 people that are, you know, against it. And it's illegal. And then you go, okay, well, show me where it's illegal. I can't, but if you try it, we'll kill you. It's like,
there was a Supreme Court case in 1869, but it's kind of like, the point is that we don't really give a shit what the Supreme Court said because we don't want to be part of you anymore.
Right.
Well, so it's impossible to debate something with people if their own preconceptions make that something inconceivable. You know, to them, the union is eternal. But you're talking about Texas versus White, which I've actually looked into a lot.
Right, yes. Thank you very much. Yeah.
So it was a very contentious Supreme Court ruling, but it ruled that Texas seceding was an illegal act because the preamble to the Constitution states a state may only secede by consent of the states or by revolution. Now, people like to tote that all the time, be like, it's already been decided. But if we're going to play constitutional law, we can always look at Jacobson versus Massachusetts in 1905, which overturns Texas versus White, technically, having nothing to do with that case. But in its ruling, it says the U.S. does not derive any of its substantive powers from the preamble of the Constitution. Basically, the preamble isn't law. Therefore, anything that you claim is based off of the preamble doesn't matter. Oh. It's like Donald Trump saying, you know, they're not sending their best, and then the liberals freaking out saying he's racist. It's like, it doesn't mean anything.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Then,
but Congress has to approve it, right? Like, if a new state was to be created or something like that?
So, how it works is, like, let's say that, you know, going back in history, when, like, Wyoming was created, or Nevada, or Utah, they were formed off of other states, and it required consent of the legislator of the state that was, you know, giving the land, and the Congress to vote on it.
Right.
And right now the big deadlock is that they don't want another new state because it'll imbalance the Senate. So then there's the argument of, okay, well, you have three states that are, you know, would pretty much guarantee you to give, you know, Republican or conservative senators. But then you also have three territories that would guarantee you three Democratic senators, or six senators total from each state. Sorry, two from each state, six total. Okay. So why not let six new states into the union, and then you still keep that deadlock there.
Yeah.
But you have areas that have more representation there. I would go a step further and say that I don't give a shit what Washington, D.C. says. I think that we should be our own country.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Honestly, at this point, they are evil.
They do not have the American people's best interests in mind. They have proven that.
Or anybody in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, what was it? The Texas Panhandle just had that massive million-plus acre wildfire that started in the middle of not fire season. And I wouldn't put it past, you know, Joe Biden telling the Department of Interior or somebody to go set the Texas Plains on fire in retaliation for Eagle Pass.
Well, or just part of the rest of the plan. I mean, look what happened with, like, Arizona, New Mexico, California, when all those other wildfires were going.
Or how people can't rebuild their houses in Maui.
Hawaii, yeah.
Hawaii's four counties, and Maui County in particular, are well known for lengthy permit processing times. University of Hawaii researchers have found that in the last 5 years, the state's median wait time for a construction permit to build a multifamily project was 400 days. The August 8th wildfire destroyed more than 2,000 buildings and displaced 4,500 people in Lahaina. 87% of those who lost their homes were renters.
They had the area all blocked off. Media blackout on that also.
But we'll let Mark Zuckerberg buy up all the land he wants to build a cattle ranch out there.
What?
Yeah. Him and Oprah.
And a bunker.
I hear that Hawaiian beef tastes amazing.
Well, and it looks like a lot of these billionaires are starting to sell off their stocks, too. I've been seeing, as of lately, like Zucker selling off a bunch of his Meta.
According to a January 4, 2024 article published in the New York Post, Mark Zuckerberg pocketed nearly $500 million after selling his company's shares nearly every day during the last 2 months of 2023. A move that coincided with a massive rebound in the Facebook and Instagram parent stock price.
Going back to like secession, there's a lot buried in constitutional law and the founding documents of the country that can support it. But then there's, you know, there's a famous George Carlin quote that I always look at, and it says, think of how stupid the average person is, and then remember half the people are dumber than that.
Hell yeah. George Carlin, the GOAT. That's awesome.
I can give you two more examples, too. I've got direct quotes. I have a little notebook in front of me that I wrote all this down in once upon a time.
Please do.
Yeah, go ahead and share.
So in 1816, Thomas Jefferson said, if any state in the Union will declare that it prefers separation to continuance in union, I have no hesitation in saying let us separate. John Quincy Adams said, far better would it be for the people of a divided or disunited states to part in friendship from each other than to be held together through constraint. And what? I think that quote speaks a lot to we are today.
Listen to that reason.
That's my argument, is that national divorce is like what I like to call it, is preferable to just a revolution or unilateral secession, because while I don't like the people in California or New York, I don't want to fight them on a battlefield. I just spent my weekend at Gettysburg, and it's a very sobering experience walking the battlefield there.
Yeah, those pictures you took?
Mm-hmm.
Was that the North Carolinian stuff that you posted up there?
Yeah, there was that, and then the next photo was Little and Big Round Top.
Wow, okay, okay.
The other two things I posted were, you go through the museum, which I have a story about that in a second, which is hilarious in my opinion. You know, you go through the museum and they talk about the lead up to the war, secession crisis. And I threw up a quote from Jefferson Davis, President Jefferson Davis.
It was all about slavery, man.
there is a lot of that coming in. But he says, the time for compromise is now past. The South is determined to maintain her position and make all who oppose her smell Southern powder and taste Southern steel.
Ooh.
And then there's the South Carolinian secession ordinance, which says the Union, now subsisting between South Carolina and other states under the name of the United States of America, is hereby dissolved. And as a independence movement and fan of national divorce, you know, those are fiery proclamations, in my opinion. But then you walk through Gettysburg and you realize that those dumbass people that can't comprehend that you want to go your own separate way and be friendly to them will meet you across a field of battle to try and kill you to prevent you from living your life.
Yeah.
Now, granted, there's other arguments about the Civil War, but at its core, you can argue that that's, you know, what it comes down to is, are you going to allow people to make their own choices or not?
And Lincoln was hell-bent on not. So, slavery is a whole topic. It's a whole... History is not what we've learned about slavery.
Oh, well, about the Civil War in general.
Yeah.
No, and it wasn't about... It was that the...
Well, slavery was part of a part of small it. Part of it, but the fact of the matter is...
That was more of a punishment to the South for losing.
Young men from where Smokey is right now, they were not fighting to save the institution of slavery.
No.
At all.
No.
None of them. From any of those 11 states that seceded, none of the young men that were not part of the 4% of slave owners in the South were fighting to preserve slavery. They were fighting to stop the invaders from Washington, period, and the North.
Well, and the North
Virginia
knew...
Go ahead, brother.
I was just going to say, the North knew that without the South, they were fucking doomed economically. They're gone
farming
under.
And agrarian purposes, particularly.
Clothing, absolutely. Everything, dude, yeah.
And in fact, the amount of the North was obviously heavily industrial, and it just turned out that South was like, well, screw you guys. We can get the same shit you guys make from the UK or France for cheaper.
Yeah, we can do the same fucking thing, but different. Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah, we'll buy it from them. And go ahead. Sorry. You probably know way more about it than us.
You know, I was just going to say, you know, like Virginia specifically, I'll talk a lot about it because that's where I live. Virginia didn't secede until after Abraham Lincoln ordered Virginia to furnish 3 regiments of troops to raise 75,000 people to go down and crush the South.
I remember that.
Robert E. Lee didn't, you know, resign his command after being offered the commission to lead the U.S. Army when he said, you know, if you ask me to lead this army, I'm not going to be fighting some foreign adversary. I'm going to be fighting my family.
Right, yeah. Which was happening anyway, right?
Yeah.
That did happen.
Here's a thing to ponder for the people that are, you know, hear me talk about secession and go, oh, you know, I'm against that. If secession is illegal, why is there no penalty, fine, or incarceration time for seceding?
Because I think they just hang you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We could ask the Branch Davidians that.
That is. Well, I mean, hey, look at, you know, it's inconvenient these days for college professors to talk about Sherman's march through the South.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'd mentioned earlier that I was in the South. I drove through Atlanta as well within the past couple weeks. And I told my kids as we're driving through in the afternoon, I was like, during the Civil War, this place was razed to the ground. So this is a 150-year-old city you're seeing here, nothing else.
1864 was the year that Georgia howled, unfortunately.
Yeah. And people don't know about that. Well, you know, the Civil War, it was, the North was very, very humane. Just so, no, neither of them were humane to each other because it was a war, dipshit.
Well, just like the U.S. was humane during World War One and World War Two and Vietnam. Right. Yeah. You know, all of them.
Yeah.
We didn't
I'll say this about Sherman, but I'll also say this, unfortunately, about, you know, Mr. Lee, that, you know, if they could drop fire on whole towns to eradicate an issue, they absolutely would have.
Oh, yeah.
Use the technology they had at their hands and whatever war-winning strategies they could, like any military commander throughout history with them.
Yeah.
But here's a question to, for the, you know, the audience members out there that are still questioning the idea of secession, though, you know, that we're an eternal union. What has the federal government done to earn your state's consent to continue to rule them?
other than the fact that you were brainwashed in elementary school to freaking be loyal to them,
the legitimacy of government, you know, it's consent of the governed, you know, that's what we're all told. When's the last time the Federals felt concern at all that they'd hurt a state's industry or values, that them doing, you know, pushing a Green New Deal, when was the last time that they worried of a state seceding because they didn't agree with that? They just assume, oh, they'll go along with it because they're a bunch of little bitches.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which, unfortunately, we've kind of proven true.
Yeah.
And I kind of look towards Texas as hopefully maybe breaking the mold on that. Because we'll see. Texas left, I think there'd be a flood of states leaving right after them.
Well, I remember when Obama was reelected on his second term, you remember they had that whitehouse.gov that you can go and put petitions up.
change.org.
Yeah, change.org or whatever. Yeah,
they most put the transparent White House in history.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Obama has one more day to rename Fire Ants to Spicy Boys.
But there was a petition that went up, and like 100,000 people plus, I think it ended up being like 300,000 or something signed it, but of Texans that wanted to secede from the Union.
How many was it?
It's like 300,000 or something.
No shit. Badass.
But who knows if those were all Texans. It could have just been a bunch of people, too, that were like, yeah, get out of here. But it made a good argument. Like, Texas has, like, I think
they're already their own country.
They're in the, as far as their economy, just the amount of money that state brings in and exports and stuff.
They got their own grid, too.
They're within, like, the top 20-something percent of economies in the world.
Their own energy, yeah.
Yeah.
According to Statista.com, Texas had a GDP of nearly $1.9 trillion, which would rank it the 12th largest economy in the world, according to 2022 numbers at data.worldbank.com. That exceeds the GDP of countries such as Brazil, Mexico, Spain, and Australia.
Look at them. They're doing way better than Haiti and stuff, obviously, right now. That's I'm just saying, that's a whole country, right? But yeah,
the Texan barbecue is a little different than the Haitian barbecue.
definitely.
Too soon. Too soon.
No, you're good. The oil, energy, all types of shit going on down
LNG.
There.
The Texas State Guard is also one of the largest state military units. Yeah. It's not the National Guard.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's not part of the, because most people don't realize the National Guard is actually a federal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not state bureaucracy.
It's wild. No, you made some very, very good points, man.
Can I sack you back to one of them?
Yeah, of course. I always like to be called on my bullshit.
No, I'm not. I'm not calling you on anything. But something that I like to remind Southern guys of is and of course, you know, hindsight's 20/20, right? But had Jefferson Davis listened to Stonewall Jackson that day, history would have proved to have been very different. You remember? What was it? What did he say? He's riding by on a horse or something, Stonewall Jackson. He said, give me 30,000 troops and send me to Washington, D.C. right now, and I'll end this thing.
Oh, that's true.
Yes.
And Jefferson Davis was like, who the fuck is this guy? Who the hell is this kid?
Well, I love General Jackson, especially, you know, living in areas of the Shenandoah Valley.
Oh, yeah, he's a native Virginian.
Yes, he is. His tomb and General Lee's tomb is an hour and a half north of where I live.
All right.
There's a great story that I love about Stonewall Jackson, because you hear about the myth, the man, the legend.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, during his Valley campaign, a group of soldiers heard that he was going to be riding by, and one was so injured that he was unable to move when he asked his buddies to lift him up on the stretcher litter so you get a glimpse of the general. And he was so disappointed in the outfit of the man, because he just wore private's uniforms. He had holes in his pants. His hat was too big. His jacket was disgusting. His horse was small. when he saw the general, he said, apparently, "Oh my God, put me down."
Really?
It was just disappointing.
Well, he was.
But at the end of the day, he's a fantastic commander.
Yeah. He was a very devout Christian man, so I doubt he was very materialistic.
There's a solid book, if people are interested, called Rebel Yell, about Stonewall Jackson, that I recommend.
Oh, one of my buddies was telling me about that book. He was down in Mississippi.
Not the Billy Idol.
No.
Just got to make that clear.
All right, thank you for clearing that up, E-Rock. Yeah, so anyway, well, so far, do we have anything else that we want to talk about? This is, I got a lot to think about. This is going to be...
Yeah, I'd say hit me with whatever questions you got. And
are you paying?
If you all have ones later, I'm always happy to come back.
Sweet.
Are you paying your taxes this year?
Don't answer that.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
There you go. Plead the fifth.
And even if I was to discuss such actions, I don't think I'd be at liberty to say.
Right.
I won't say I'm paying my taxes. I say my money is getting stolen from me by the federal government.
Absolutely. That's what's happening. Yeah, I know. I just explained that to my...
and your state.
I just explained that to my 16-year-old. I'm like, look. So I went and got my haircut. I got $20 out of the ATM. I said, I was already taxed on this $20 when I got my paycheck. After my company was already taxed on the money that they received to pay me my paycheck. I said, and then I give this to the barber, who takes that $20 and taxes me again on that money that's already been taxed twice.
Well, their business will get shut down if they don't tax you.
Right.
You know?
And then they turn around and they have to pay taxes again on that $20 and all the other $20 they collected at the end of the year to the government. So I'm like, that $120 is getting taxed at least four fucking times.
So let's cut to the chase. Basically, you're not free.
Yeah. I was like, what does that sound like to you? She's like, that sounds like I'm getting ripped off and robbed. I'm like, that's exactly what's
happening.
Absolutely.
And imagine if you brought a product and then you tried to resell it.
Right. Or even if that barber takes that $20, now he takes that $20 out and he goes and spends it on the economy. He's having to pay sales tax and all this.
Well, certain restaurants take like the taxes out of people's tips. They make them turn all their cash in and shit.
It's ridiculous.
I always like the Ron Swanson explanation of taxes, where he eats the little kid's lunch right in front of her.
It's never too early to learn that the government is a greedy piglet that suckles on a taxpayer's teat until they have sore, chapped nipples. I'm gonna need a different metaphor to give this 9-year-old. What's your name, ma'am?
Lauren Burkus.
Lauren, my name is Ron Swanson, and I'm gonna tell you everything you need to know about the miserable, screwed-up world of local government. This is your lunch. Now, you should be able to do whatever you want to with this, right? If you want to eat all of it, great. If you want to throw it away in the garbage, that's your prerogative. But here I come, the government. And I get to take 40% of your lunch. And that, Lauren, is how taxes work.
That's not fair.
You're learning.
Oh, yeah.
Parks and Rec.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like, a good one.
I get to, you should be able to eat all of this, but I'm the government, and I get 40% of your lunch.
Why? Because fuck you, that's why.
Yeah. I think the fact of the matter is that the divide, and a ton of people are talking about this right now, so we're not bringing anything new to the table, but maybe we'll have a fresh perspective, and it's important, is that there is a rural versus urban divide in this country. It's absolutely huge. And absolutely, I don't think we're going to be voting our way out of it. So I just don't, but I don't see any reconciliation with some of the things going down and
yeah, in other places, not,
you know?
Let's not be so indoctrinated and brainwashed by our public, our government, public education. Segregation can't happen, or secession cannot happen, because segregation
jeez, man. Come on.
All right. Sorry.
What are you, Woodrow Wilson, trying to resegregate us?
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude.
We are.
Succession cannot happen because borders have already been changing, right? In the last 20 years. Borders, just in the last couple years.
What do you mean?
Borders have changed.
Where?
In the world. Russia.
Oh, in the world. Yeah, absolutely.
Over in eastern Ukraine.
Ukraine will rise again.
Happens, you know, every other year.
Israel.
All over the board.
Right.
Yeah, there's a gentleman on Twitter. I'm trying to look him up for y'all real quick. I get a lot of my talking points on secession from him. He's very knowledgeable in the subject. His Twitter handle is @state_secession. He's very knowledgeable on it, but he's got a whole blog on it that every day he talks about secession. But not only just U.S. secession, he talks about other examples. I mean, the nations as they exist today, if you go back to 1945, the end of World War II, and you told the people then, oh, hey, there's going to be 200 and some odd countries in, you know, 100 years, they're just going to laugh at you and go, no, they're not.
Absolutely.
Yep,
and that's where we are today.
And then go to World War, the First World War. You know, before that,
yeah.
Think about the empires that ended,
the Bolshevik Revolution, the First
World War.
I mean,
you had the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Yeah, that dissolved the Balkans.
Dude,
when did the Ottoman Empire went down? The First World War. Think about that. The Ottoman Empire fell only in the First World War. It was right there.
Just over 100 years ago.
If you want to put it into even more perspective, technically the Eastern Roman Empire only fell, what was it, 40, 50 years before Columbus sailed to North America?
That's wild.
So, yeah. Let's not be ignorant and naive to believe that this cannot happen again. Just because we have power, we have electricity. Yeah, we're the most advanced, quote-unquote, civilization. Can't build the fucking pyramids. But we are the most advanced civilization, and we're very ignorant to believe that, like, this cannot happen again. And I think they've been prepping the public for it for quite some time, honestly, through media and their other Aleister Crowley black magic shit or whatever they do, you know?
If you look at, like, historical examples, you look at, like, the fall of the Western Roman Empire, and then you look through the Dark Ages, and you know, as a kid growing up reading about all this, I always went, how did they forget how to read? How did they think the giants built the baths in Bath, England, and not the Romans? But then I also think, oh yeah, since the 90s, we've been getting rid of all of our physical copies of things and making digital, assuming that digital will be here forever.
Right.
Yeah.
No way.
Well, and they also had a lot of warlords that took over. And turns out they don't like an educated population.
No.
So.
Well, I mean, you can look at the invasions. The mass migration that occurred into the Roman Empire, the Western Roman Empire at the end. And I think the number is something like, you know, you'd have on average like 150 to 300,000 people, maybe, as an entire people moving in.
Yeah.
And we're getting that, what, once a month?
Oh, man.
At our southern border?
close to. It's crazy. And it's unsustainable. So to me, it just reeks of, obviously, it's by design. There's no other way. It's unmistakable to me.
There's a list, I think, that I can't remember who put it out. It was a couple weeks ago now, but it was the 10 organizations, the 10 not-for-profit organizations that are involved with bringing refugees into this country. The number one is the United Nations Office of Immigration, or Refugees.
Sweet.
The number two is the Norwegian Refugee Council.
Oh,
the number three is the American Red Cross, and the number four largest one is... It just said the European Union.
Very nice. It's awful nice of them to help us out like that.
And these are all organizations that we donate. You know. Well,
oh, I'm sure we're the primary. I'm sure that we primarily fund them.
I mean, has all of our money that we've given to Ukraine actually gone to, you know, let our proxy forces there fight the Russian proxy forces from Wagner?
I don't know if it was true or not, but it did come across on Twitter that some Ukrainian government official was like the first individual, European individual, to own a particular type of Rolls Royce in Europe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was like the first person, not a Saudi or from Abu Dhabi or some shit like that, that had this particular Rolls Royce. Allegedly. Would it surprise you? No. We're here for entertainment purposes, folks. Okay? But I mean, come on. Yeah, I mean, you know what's happening.
Look, what's that saying? I expect nothing and still I'm let down.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, I'm sure if the Americans are helping influence politics over there, if it's anything like when they tried to influence politics in Afghanistan, they're just paying the politicians to vote the way they want them to vote.
Dude, we got called out on Twitter. I didn't tell you about this. That Ukraine didn't have a coup in 2014.
Oh, really? That didn't happen?
No, we got completely called out.
Were they like, Victoria Nuland had nothing to do with that.
It was a revolution. Okay. Yes, I'm serious.
Yeah, there was an actual insurrection where politicians got pulled out of parliament buildings and shot in the fucking head.
It's all on there, bro. Yeah. It's all
the building
on there.
Got burned down.
Go find it.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I even just conceded to try to peacefully end the conversation and shit because they were just being so stupid. And people, rabid.
Okay.
You should just link them to that Winter on Fire documentary from Netflix and be like, I'm pretty certain this ends with the president fleeing the country.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dude, well, that's funny when America started supporting Ukraine, right? And then all these people were talking about it, and some people at my gym, one of my buddies there's like, yeah, man, this shit's crazy, this and that. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, this and that, and blah, blah, blah. I started spitting facts about it, and he's like, what? I'm like, yeah, like, this stuff's been going on since the coup in 2014, the Civil War, that the U.S. may or may not have something to involve them to be doing shit in there, you know? He's like, I don't know anything about that.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm like, unfortunately, most people don't.
Right.
I'm like, and when we try to explain to people, we're like, the agreement that Russia had with NATO was that if any of these countries on their fucking western border are being messed with, then instead of NATO dealing with the problem, Russia did. And what happened when Western Ukraine started shelling innocent civilians in Eastern Ukraine?
Yeah. They came to the rescue.
Russian propaganda.
Yeah, that's Russian. Oh, dude. Oh, we got called a Russian bot on fucking Instagram because I tried pointing some shit out like that. And people were like, this guy's just a Russian bot. And we're like,
was it one of those bags from the NAFO organization? The North American Fellows Organization?
No,
it was... Oh, is that what that is?
Those people are next level autistic.
Oh, I bet they're all... Yeah, dude. I bet they are all master's degree educated, too.
Some of them are like 05s and 06s in the Army. There was one that was an Air Force major that... I don't remember what his day job was.
Does this surprise
Sucking
you?
Sucking cock, probably. At Lockheed Martin.
Whoa, savage.
Whoa, sorry.
Savagery.
Sorry. Dude, that's funny because that guy that calls a bot was he was a former Marine and he's like a gunsmith now or some shit at his own rifle company.
He called you a bot?
Yeah, he called us a Russian bot.
You should have asked him how much NATO's paying him to say that.
No, I just told him, I said, yeah, I'd say that if I was a dumb fucking boot too. I didn't cuss at him, but
well, I mean, Russia already has a NATO border. It's already there. In the Baltic. Estonia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't Latvia part of NATO?
Make Kaliningrad Russia again.
Yeah, Kaliningrad is right there. So, I mean, it's a little less intense. I don't know what the right word is there because, like, Russia has just such a large naval presence there. It's like, fuck you. Okay, yeah, we'll have NATO here.
Here's my other problem with that, though, is why are U.S. troops anywhere fucking near that area?
Well, yeah.
I don't give a shit that we're part of NATO. Like, that is literally...
We'll need to be out.
I mean, that's part of the agreement I understand we had with Europe for stealing all their fucking gold after...
Screw Europe's defense.
World War II.
Screw Europe's defense. That is none of our freaking business.
Might makes right.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
If they wanted to hold on to their art and their money, they should have just fought the war better.
Yeah, they shouldn't have lost to Germany, stupid pussies.
They won't come crawling to us asking to help them defeat the Germans.
Yeah.
Twice.
That's the other crazy thing people don't like talking about. If Germany, in World War II, if Germany hadn't turned on Russia, we'd probably be singing a different story right now. Yeah. Once again, history would have been altered. Same thing.
The UK would have...
We could understand Rammstein lyrics.
You could understand a lot of stuff, buddy.
No, it wouldn't have been like that, but...
Well, I'm just saying...
I understand one word from Du Hast.
Du Hast, you hate. Mm-hmm. You hate me.
Yeah. Mein Land.
Listening to the English version of Rammstein is really weird. It's not as angry.
It's a different vibe.
Yeah, it totally is. Germanic's such an angry language.
Yeah.
It is the love language of Central Europe. How dare you?
You're right, dude. The Alps, all that stuff in there, absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
I wish I'd be able to visit that in real life.
You know? Like to go skiing.
Yeah. In the mountains, yeah. But on the Alps.
Perhaps lay in the snowfield. Gather some sun. Yeah. Sun today?
The sun are balls in the morning, you know? It's only as gay as you make it.
We did a special on we're plugging it still. Operation Paperclip.
Yeah.
We did a special on Operation Paperclip. It's down there in the 30s.
That's one of our earlier shows, yeah. Yeah. We should do some re-releases on stuff.
We need to. And we've been trying to work on the German accents.
Yeah.
Ever since.
Anyway.
Duolingo will help you out.
Yeah, Duolingo was awesome. It helped me a lot in Mexico. So this has been a great conversation. This has been awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
I definitely enjoyed it.
Yeah, we would love doing this again, dude.
If you'd be willing to join us.
I'm going to try and get you guys linked up with my buddies at the Appalachian Podcast, and maybe you can have a long conversation with them, because they're just down the hill from me, and we'll get to talking, and I think we won't hit the point of our conversation until like the 2.5 hour mark, because we'll just start drinking and continuing on with conversations and going down the rabbit hole.
You're talking about putting a marathon in?
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, let's do it. Hey, the weather's starting to get
real
nice.
Don't threaten me with a good time, sir.
Get some, got to get us some Flex Seal up here on the top of the shack going, and that'll help out a bit, and we'll be ready to hang out in here for days.
Yeah, we got a few holes.
I'm sure you get enough people going, down a severe rabbit hole.
Oh man. Well, yeah, I don't know if you ever listen to some of our shows, but we do most of our recording out of a shack in the middle of a cornfield out here in Iowa, and right now it's got a few leaks in it, a few leaks in the old shack roof. We gotta patch them up, like she said. Like Dio said,
character.
Flex Seal.
That's what we say when we're too poor to afford to fix things.
Fuck yeah. All right, why don't you tell our listeners once again where to find you, please, if you'd be so kind.
Alrighty, you can find me on Instagram at State of Appalachia, and on Twitter or X, whatever it's called now, and my handle there is at @AppalachiaStanny.
Wait, hey, spell that out for us, if you would, please.
It's AppalachiaStanny.
All right, I appreciate it.
We'll have that in our description, in our link.
It's a long one to spell. Think of Afghanistan or Afghani.
Right, yeah.
But Appalachian.
Oh, yeah. Kazakhstan. In my country, there is problem. All right. Also,
mountain people.
You have a link tree as well for a few other... Do you have a blog set up as well?
I do. Thank you for reminding me. All my link tree... you can find a link to Smokey's Fireside Rants, where occasionally I put out a blog. The link right underneath it is Hubsteading Posts, which is kind of explained in the Six Riflemen and a Hubstead article. And then you can find a link to our Discord server. You might get bounced or just verbally abused immediately for entering it, but just know it's all good fun. If you get kicked out, come right back in and just return fire.
Yeah, I got kicked out right away.
We're going to have to start like an Iowa-Appalachia-Stanny war.
I don't know about that. Hank Jr. sung about these boys, okay? They come from the West Virginia coal mines, all right? We don't want to fuck with them.
That's fine.
No more brother wars.
Yeah, we don't need to be doing that. If anything, we need to band together and help support the cause.
I'm just talking about some amateur rules MMA matches.
On Discord. We'll take it to the Discord. All right. Okay. Yeah, like I said, we'll put your link tree and a couple links to your ex Twitter and Instagram. And so this is a thing we always do at the end of our show. So I'll let you think about it for right now. But at the end of our show, we always recommend something to somebody, what not to do. We'll always remember, you know, don't drink the Kool-Aid, something like that. So we'll let you think about that while we go through our exit, and then we'll give you the cue to drop it. Sound good, Smokey? All right?
Yeah.
All right. You can find us at IowaTalkGuys_podcast on Instagram.
At IowaTalkGuys on Twitter, X.
At IowaTalkGuys on YouTube and Rumble.
Yeah, please remember to like, follow, subscribe, share, hit that like button.
Share it with all your neighbors and up and down the holler.
Yep.
Out there.
Share it with your coworkers.
I was trying to pander a little bit to some Apple.
Yeah, hopefully, hopefully we have a lot of West Virginians listening tonight.
And your cousins.
And Uncle Fester. Also, please hit up the Rumble. Keep hitting that up. Follow us on the Rumble. We have a lot of views on there. We don't have too many followers or subscribers. So if you would please be so kind to do that.
That's, yeah.
And always remember.
Don't eat the yellow cake.
Or yellow cock.
I mean, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
And
don't forget to watch The Wonderful Whites of West Virginia.
And what do you got for a Smokey?
Don't be weird. Talk to your fucking neighbors, guys. We're building communities here, not little isolated islands.
Solid.
Very nice.
Solid. All right, man. Well, thanks again, Smokey. We're going to do this again. And for now,
definitely.
Iowa Talk Guys, out.
Hi. Good night, everybody.
I'd rather be here. So thank you very much. Very nice. Appreciate it.